Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Hey, it's Fran from Chicks in the Office. It's peak summer. One plan is turning into five, but trust, I'll be wearing Abercrombie to all of them. Catch me in their Sloan tailored pan at work and then the happy hour right after. The Dylan dress for dinner plans when you want something easy but still put together. And of course, their denim. Because Abercrombie denim just works, no matter the plan. Keep up with the pace of summer without overthinking it. Shop in the app, online, and in stores.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want to come and join with you?
I'm gonna make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk!
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do!
I'm the Joker, baby!
All right, welcome to The Long Take, episode 95. Today we have Clemmer on, co-host of
Double Play.
Very excited. But we were just had a little bit of a conversation. We had a little bit of a hardware disaster.
I fucked up.
Where's hardware? Hardware problem. We're calling it hardware problem. We were having a little discussion about the best football movies.
Yeah, talking about sports movies. Yeah, just Double Play. For those who don't know, it's on the LCB network.
It is.
And Brandon Walker and I cover the best and worst sports movies, typically of the same sport. So, for instance, this week it is Friday Night Lights and Draft Day. Friday Night Lights is considered to be a very good football movie. Draft Day, not so much. But it's fun. It's Brandon and I usually just kind of give each other shit the entire time. Mm-hmm. It's been fun, and it's been interesting. So like next week we cover Field of Dreams and The Babe, and like The Babe is just so terrible,
bad.
So like that's maybe a greater dichotomy, because like the funny thing about Draft Day is Draft Day isn't awful. Mm-hmm. It's just bad.
Yeah.
Where some of those other movies we've covered like Ed with Matt LeBlanc playing baseball with a monkey. Eddie with Whoopi Goldberg coaches the Knicks. Those are just horrible films.
Yeah.
Where Draft Day is just bad. So that led to a little different conversation.
Draft Day is like watching paint dry. Draft Day is very boring. I don't know. It stirs no emotion in me.
And that's, I think, Kevin Costner, out of all the roles he's done, I feel like he tried the least in Draft Day.
Absolutely.
Like, there was just no emotion behind it. It was just reading lines.
You can see, the dollar signs in his eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you can see, like, when's the check clear? Like, you can see his brain working as he's reading lines.
Let's do a trade.
Have any two leads ever had less chemistry than him and Jennifer Gardner?
Yeah, it's
they act like brother and sister. Like, they're not even, like, close.
They're
to
fighting for, like, half the movie, too. Like, they don't even get along. Like, they can't be in the same room together for half the movie. They would break up 6 weeks after that movie, I would imagine.
I'm trying to think of some movies I'd want you guys to do, and I think I would want you to do Mystery Alaska. I think it would be
That's a good one, a hockey
with
one.
Russell Crowe. Maybe Goon too is in the hockey world.
Yep.
I like Goon a lot.
I forget
if they did or stylized it, or if it was just Goon.
It's just Goon. Goon.
Sean William Scott banger, Liev Schreiber in it.
And unfortunately, Jay Baruchel is pretty good in that.
He is. That's his best role I think I've ever seen.
He wrote it too, right? I think he wrote or directed one.
They made a second one, The Last Enforcer, I think it was called. I didn't watch that one.
But yeah,
I think
that's dumb.
Mystery Alaska would be cool.
That'd be a good one.
Try to think of some other
ones. Replacements.
Replacements would be
cool. I love The Replacements. That's a top three football movie.
I know upcoming we have, I mentioned The Field of Dreams, when we also have, we're going to be doing Caddyshack and Caddyshack 2.
Oh, Caddyshack 2.
I've never seen Caddyshack. See, this is where you all impressed me, because if I know a movie's bad and there's enough word of mouth, like I just won't watch it.
No, I've never seen Caddyshack 2. This is my first time. I've heard it's just horrible.
It's so bad. It's unbelievable.
That goes back to like when people get mad at like your rating system and they're like, how could you give this a 70? And it's like, because if you truly saw what a 20 out of 100 movie looks like, then you'd be like, oh, okay.
You just need to watch more. It's everything, because everything with the movie rating scale is relative to what you've already seen.
Yes.
So, like when you've seen the depths of hell, it's like when people are like, they'll come in and they'll say like, whatever, Wonder Woman 84 is the worst movie that's ever been made. It's like, it's not.
It's bad.
It's a bad movie.
It's bad.
It's a shitty movie.
Like, Battlefield Earth is maybe the worst movie. I give that a 1. I gave Ed, for instance, the Matt LeBlanc monkey epic, I gave that an 8.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, that is just an atrocious film.
See, I think that gets like 15 points for me just for the fact that they just went for the fences on a monkey playing baseball.
It is.
There's a lot of monkey stuff then. Dunstan checks in.
There's a lot of monkey stuff. Friends had the monkey for a whole season. It is. Like, that movie is so bad. It's almost entertaining. Like, it's almost good. It's so, where Eddie is just bad. Like, Eddie just sucks completely. But Ed is so horrible. It's kind of like Battlefield Earth. It's so bad. It's like, oh, this is kind of, I kind of enjoyed this.
Battlefield Earth. Just like, hey, do you like Dutch angles? How about we do a movie with nothing but Dutch angles? And just fucking, what's his name? John Travolta in that stupid, stupid suit. And just screaming like, oh, crap, damn it. Or whatever it was he was saying. It was bad. That's like
poor Barry Pepper.
Barry Pepper. And who is, there's another bigger name.
Kelly Preston is a very small part in it.
Who is it? Like the other main alien.
I forget. Keith
David.
Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker. Yeah. Yeah. That's a real, see, watch a movie like that and then you'll know what a really bad movie is before you go and say like, oh, man, Thor Love and Thunder, worst movie ever made in history. It's like, it's, you haven't watched enough. Yeah,
bad.
Yeah.
It's not Jack and Jill.
It's not. It's nowhere close to that. I wonder what I have at a legit zero. I know I have a few, but.
Yeah. I saw someplace in New York was doing a Al Pacino like film festival. It might have been at the Alamo. Movies? The Alamo Drafthouse. Oh. And they had like, it was, I swear to God, it was like Dog Day Afternoon. It was Cruising, which was kind of a, that's a kind of an odd movie. Yeah.
Was it the one here?
Yeah. And then it was a third one, I forget, but another classic, a Godfather. And the fourth one was Jack and Jill.
What the fuck?
And I'm like, why would you include that of all the Pacino films? Why would you include that
one? Just because he has a limited role. Like, it's like if he was a main character in it, I could maybe see it.
It's also like, it's Al Pacino.
Yeah.
There's so many different movies you could pick from.
All right. I have the Red Dawn remake as at a zero.
Wow.
It was. Okay. That movie was.
I've not seen that.
Wretched. Yeah, that I think mostly because the first Red Dawn is one of my favorite movies, like from the 80s. I fucking love that Red Dawn. Let's see, Mr. Nanny, Jack and Jill, so zero.
Larry the Cable Guy. The Larry the Cable Guy movies. Oh my gosh. I forgot that he tried to have like an acting career there for a
did
little bit.
Did he have any sports movies? Did he have, like, we can Delta include that. Farce,
I think was him.
Was he in maybe I'm just like misremembering The Comebacks, if you remember that dumb movie.
Yes.
I feel like he might have had a cameo in there.
That was
Rob Corddry.
No, yeah, it's the other guy that looks is also bald and very funny.
We've
interviewed him before too. That's David Cochran.
He played Champ Kahn. Yeah, he played Champ
Keckner.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, David Keckner.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Larry the Cable Guy.
The Office.
Delta Farce. I have it a one. Witless Protection.
Delta Farce. Another Larry the Cable Guy banger.
A Medea Christmas 12. That was bad. What else? Oh. X vs. Sever. Do you remember that?
I remember when it came out. I did not see it.
You don't want to know that it wasn't even the bad movies that tanked his career. It was the fact that people found out he was from Ohio.
He's from Ohio?
That ruined Larry the Cable Guy?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think he would have kept making bad movies if it wasn't for the fact that, like, his whole, like, fan base was like, holy fuck, he's from north of the Mason-Dixon line. I fucking hate this guy.
Yeah, and the other guys, the rest of them did pretty well. Like, Ingvall still toured and all that stuff. Like, Jeff Foxworthy's hosting, like...
I mean, Jeff Foxworthy is worth, like, $1 billion.
Dude, they had that clip of his recent stand-up. It was the participation trophy thing. It was like, dude, how does that
brutal?
Sound? How does that pull or work?
Yeah, just an older crowd.
Son of the Mask I have on here.
Oh,
Jamie Kennedy could be on like any one of these. He is a bad film career.
It's sad, you know. After watching Scream, I remember when that came out. I saw in the theaters. I'm like, oh, this guy's gonna have a major career. He's very funny. He's likable, and then it just never.
I kind of liked Malibu's Most Wanted. Like, I still kind of fuck with that.
Wait, you have that as a zero?
Yeah, Son of the Mask.
Oh, I thought you said Malibu's Most Wanted.
Oh, no. Malibu's Most Wanted is probably in the 30s or something. It's Pat.
That's a 70 for me.
Stinker.
Malibu's Most Wanted.
Highlander 2, The Quickening. You ever watch that?
I hated the first Highlander.
Oh, you didn't like the first? Well, that guy, Christopher Lambert, also not a good actor.
No.
Real bad in everything I've ever seen him in. Wish Upon Oa is bad. Master of Disguise.
That doesn't deserve
it. The Turtle? Turtle?
You've heard the 9/11 story with that, right?
I did. So that was confirmed.
Yes, just recently.
Week. Yeah.
Bucky Larson, Born to Be a Star. That was
awful. That was bad. I did see that.
I saw it in theaters.
I really liked him, and I thought it would be funny. Nick Swartzen.
Yeah.
And then it was so bad.
That was, like, I think the inflection point for Nick Swartzen, too, because, like, he was the funniest dude, because he was in these side roles and, like,
yes,
Grandma's
Yes,
Boy
he was great as a side character.
Just not a main dude. I have the last Airbender movie, M. Night's Gotti.
Oh, so
don't believe
Guardians with that's the Travolta one.
The Travolta one, yeah. That was directed by.
I'm thinking the Armand Asante one, HBO one. No, that's like one of Jeff Nadeau's like favorite movies ever.
Yeah, that one is passable. The Gotti,
the Travolta one, yeah.
The Bye Bye Man is most of these are like just dumpy horror movies.
How much did Gotti make at the box office? That's got to be one of the more impressive marketing spins of all time. They are the originators of Don't Believe the Critics. Like
Mac and Me is on here.
Mac and Me
is real bad.
Mac and Me was on HBO so much in like 1988, 89. It was on like every day.
It's just a weird phenomenon too, because like they were smart for trying to cash in on the ET stuff.
But it also came out like way late. Like ET came out like four or 5 years earlier.
It was even that close. I thought it was like a full decade for some reason.
E.T. was the first movie I saw in the theaters. But E.T. I saw
early
it
early 80s,
very,
right?
Yeah, I think 82, but I saw it like because back then movies would be in the theaters forever, and yeah. I saw it at the very end of its run.
I wish they still did that. Like, I would love, like, if I had, like, tonight, like, I might have some free time, smoke a little weed, and go see Avatar again in IMAX. Like, that would be a great night. Because I don't ever want to watch Avatar at home.
Like, no, no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Keanu, when the Day the Earth Stood Still, that one's pretty
bad. Oh, that's bad. I saw that. That's very bad.
You got
music. I don't know if I put it as zero.
This one's at a three. So
a three? Oh, I have it a little higher.
Paul Blart, two. No good. Ultraviolet stunk. I thought the movie was going to be so good.
Oh, you got to add down there.
Yeah, Ed's right here at a 3 out of 100. Serenity.
Ed?
Yeah, Ed's right
all
here
right.
at 3. Serenity, have you ever seen that? We call it Dad Boat.
It's crazy that Stephen Knight wrote that.
Serenity, I don't know if I have.
It's a Matthew McConaughey, Stack Jason cast. Clark, Anne Hathaway.
Jimon Hansu. I want to say his name right.
Fucking Kendall from Succession.
Jeremy Strong.
Jeremy Strong. Wow. And I think more, too, that I'm missing. But yeah, and that movie was god-awful. And just a lot of other
from the same guy who wrote and created Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, Stephen Knight.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
Yeah, like a very respected writer.
Made one of like the best streaming shows ever made. Emoji Movie up there. Yeah.
Oh, that was bad.
Emoji Movie was awful.
Never get over fucking
ridiculous. Six.
Sir Patrick Stewart. Who did he play?
He played the poop emoji.
Yeah, he played poop.
Okay, yeah.
Let's see.
Hopefully, I didn't typecast him and ruin his
Catwoman.
Career. Halle Berry.
Yeah.
Dude, I remember that.
Very sexy, very bad movie.
My dad was so mad after that movie. I can't believe you drugged me to this.
The second Independence Day.
Yeah, I did not see that.
Bad.
One's rough.
Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Most of the Mortal Kombat movies after that first 96 one or whatever,
yep.
like were really, really, really bad. The Dragon Ball movie, that was awful. Dumb and Dumber 2, the one where it doesn't even have either of them. The Happening.
The Happening might be the worst. That might be like the worst movie I've ever seen in the theater that I was excited to go see.
Yeah.
They're fighting the wind.
Yeah.
It is horrible.
And like the reveal of it, I think they really thought they like did something with it. You know what I mean? Like M. Night or whatever. Like, I don't know what.
Wahlberg is confused the entire movie. Just completely baffled.
And just like the worst acting performance of his career too.
Yes, by far.
That one scene where he's talking to the lady's like, "You're not trying to kill us, are you?" And he's like, "No, lady, we would never want to do that." It's like you're being so bad at acting that you're actually making yourself sound nefarious.
Right, yes, right.
Meet the Spartans, Mordecai was really bad. Sorry, we're spending so much time. I just like talking about bad movies as much as I like talking about good ones. Holmes and Watson, that was a stinker. And that was one I was excited for too, because it was John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
I thought it was shit. Like, I was like going in expecting stupid.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this will be stupid. But this will be funny. Like, that's like their thing. Like, they'll be dumb and it'll be funny.
I don't think it was once.
It was just not even funny. Like, didn't even get my mom to laugh, which is damn near impossible. If you can't get like a 50-year-old woman who like this is made for, basically, like older crowd, man, you missed the mark.
Bad shape. Anyway, that's been bad movie talk.
What a way to open.
We did
let's talk about bad movies.
Anyway, after all the shit. Oh, that's another one you've got to review is the Disney, was it Double Team. See, that's another one.
Ooh, you guys should do like a Disney month and just run through.
Yeah, I don't know, a whole month might be a lot, but we definitely do a Disney show.
There's so many Disney sports movies. It's incredible.
There's one, what is it, with Tony Danza, like the... garbage kicking field goal. Yeah.
Luck of the Irish was pretty good. Pretty good.
Well, I guess relatively to the other Disney movies.
Yes. Yeah.
It was Double Team, right?
The mermaid one where the guy turns into a fucking fish.
It's tough because Brandon and I have no real connection to like these all came out way after us.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think
obviously, you know, it's going to be a point where we're going to be kind of running dry on stuff, I imagine. So we'll have to cover some of these.
You should do a rush and then you should do what was the F1? Disney Channel movie with the racing girls.
Wait, the BMX one?
No, it was girls and they did like F1 racing.
Oh, I don't know.
See, my go-to there would be something like Days of Thunder.
This is Double Teamed. That's what I was messing. Yeah. This one, they do a basketball move in this movie.
Oh, I think you showed me that. That is wild.
One of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's two picks, right? They call it the DP.
Yes, exactly. And they call it the DP. It's very funny. It's double pick.
Nothing better than a good DP.
We got to run the DP. Anyway.
Stretch you out defensively.
Anyway, the
Outshine is the number one frozen fruit bar brand in America. And once you try them, it's easy to see why. Their fruit bars and mini fruit pops are made with real fruit or fruit juice using simple ingredients you can pronounce. That means no high fructose corn syrup and no artificial colors or flavors. Outshine bars are gluten-free and even a good source of vitamin C. And the flavor lineup? It's stacked. We're talking strawberry, mango, coconut, watermelon, pineapple, cherry, you name it, there's something for whatever you're craving. You've got classic fruit bars, mini fruit pops, and fruit blends that swirl multiple flavors together. Think pina colada, cherry limeade, and more. Find your new favorite refreshing snack, Outshine, at retailers nationwide.
The big news that dropped like yesterday, and like we were just talking about this pre-show, like we were worried there wasn't going to be a lot of news today, but HBO Max had a big event and they announced a whole bunch
of different shows.
No longer, that it is no longer.
Don't even fucking say HBO anymore.
It's no longer HBO Max. It is now just Max. That's right. They dropped the Max part, not the HBO part, the name synonymous with some of the best TV ever made. No, that part's gone. Now it is just Max. And
what does that make you think of?
Like Max Steel, like
see, I think Cinemax.
Even then, yeah, that's bad. It's like
HBO is way better. Yeah. No one would ever choose Cinemax over
this
HBO.
This guy pays $20 for the ultimate ad free plan. Yeah. He's like, where the fuck is the porn?
Yeah, where's
the, right? Yeah, where's the soft porn?
And this is like, I feel like the fifth time they've changed the name too, because they had the regular just HBO Go, then HBO Go, now HBO Max, now just Max.
HBO Now. They had HBO Go and HBO Now well, going at the same time, yes. And I think I had both of them.
This? Like why they're doing this?
I think it's because they folded in Discovery and they want to like they want feel like it's a bigger, more widespread platform than just HBO.
Someone in the industry who's in marketing said, more or less, they want to appeal to middle America, and the feeling is that middle America views HBO as this hoity-toity coastal
elite.
Yeah, channel. Kind of. Yeah, like a coastal elite. Like it's prestigious. It's expensive. It is expensive. Like by like streaming standards, like $15 a month is pretty expensive for a fucking streaming service. And they want people to be like, oh, well, this is actually where you can get all your Discovery Plus shows too.
Who gives a fuck about Discovery?
Yeah, exactly.
I couldn't tell you. I mean, obviously we are, I guess we're in New York, so maybe we're not that crowd, but like I have no, the Discovery doesn't mean anything to me.
Zero. I have like no emotion one way or the other.
And even then you should be marketing the HBO. Be like, oh, this is like, you can have all this great HBO content and the Discovery Plus content for this price. Like you get this really nice streaming service.
Let me tell you something, Cupcake.
But they're changing it to fucking Max.
Once I get back from the shift at the coal mine, we're going to boot up Max. Watch us some hacks.
They should have just dropped everything. Change the name completely. Max is such a bad name.
It's a terrible name. Because number one, because of the association, I think, too, with Cinemax, like you're saying. But also, dropping HBO is dumb. And then just, it's just not, it's a name. It's a person's name, and it's not a cool one particularly, even though it has an X, which we were arguing was maybe a very cool letter.
When they're going to roll out the mascot, they're going to have some little dude named Max. Yeah, they're going to be like, dog. This is Max. This is what Max is watching this week.
If they had like a Clippy that popped up and it's like, and whenever you're watching clip something. The clip art golden retriever named Max.
Who's a famous Max? Like Max Weinberg. It's not that famous. Who's a famous Max that could.
Let's see. Most famous Max.
Max Scherzer. I don't think he's going to be much of a help.
Yeah, I don't know if he's like world famous enough, you know?
Like who's the most famous Max?
Man, there really aren't a lot of Max actors.
No.
That's surprising.
Greenfield, Scherzer, Max von Sydow, he passed away, but he's also not that famous. Or I think he should be, but I don't think he's that famous.
To be a spokesman when you're dead.
Really not a lot of Maxes.
No.
This is crazy. I'm like struggling to find anyone.
They could get Shrek, they could get Smallville actress and cult member Allison Mack.
All right.
Yeah, I think Max she's in jail now.
She's got a lot of free time in her hands, so she could probably.
There has to be more famous Maxes. Like, are we crazy?
I don't think so. I don't know any Max. I don't know if I've met a Max.
Neither have I.
Have we figured something out here? Like, will the like has
Max
there
is dying go to,
pick pull up like Pro Football Folk, Pro
my,
Football Reference?
My
right now.
What do you call it? Confirmation name is Max. I don't know if that counts.
I went to high school with a kid named Max.
It's cool.
I mean, I knew him. Max
LeBlanc.
Max LeBlanc?
Yeah, kind of like Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah, just very close.
But he was nothing like, well, it was kind of like, right, I guess that's not true. It was actually during the Friends heyday. But he was nothing like Matt LeBlanc. Like, you couldn't have picked, like, look-wise, anything like, he was like, you couldn't have picked a more different person.
Yeah, there's like been like six NFL players ever named Max.
Really?
Yeah.
Sports, I mean, baseball
Max Scherzer. And there's also like,
That's crazy.
You know, baseball was around so long, so you have some older guys from like the 20s and 10s named Max.
But anyway, they, in addition to the changing the name, which was dumb as shit, they also dropped a bunch of trailers. The first was for the John Wick spinoff series, The Continental.
Well, that's not them. That's Peacock.
Yeah.
Oh, that is Peacock.
Yeah.
I just want to talk about it anyway because it'll cool.
Let's go ahead and switch lanes and then we'll come back around to all the HBO, the Max trailers.
Yeah. Oh, man, I got my wires crossed there. But I did want to talk about it because it did look awesome. And they all did drop at the same time. I don't know why.
Yeah, they did.
In that same block or whatever.
Yeah, it was very weird.
But yeah, anyway, the Continental series, John Wick 4, super successful so far. Crazy good domestic box office returns. And we talked about this before. I don't know how you feel about it. But I think it's like the most successful four movie franchise ever made, like as far as quality goes. Like there's no bad movie in the John Wick catalog, and that's no what franchise in the history of movies has ever done that. Four movies, like four for four, none. Like the closest you would get is Indy, and even then four sucked.
I'd say the first four Rockies.
Yeah.
First four Rockies. Yeah. So I've never seen John Wick.
You've never seen John Wick?
You'd love it.
Holy shit.
I haven't seen it because the dog stuff up top
You can legitimately, and I do it every time I watch the first John Wick, I fast forward through the first like 15 minutes. You really don't. If you know what happened, it doesn't really change any.
Watch it because I know they're great. I've heard from so many people they're great. I've never heard a bad word about them. Mm-hmm. I'm sure to appreciate them. I have to sit down and watch them. That was always my apprehension.
Gotcha. Well, like the whole point of the Continental is they have a bunch of these hotel locations all over the world. First, it's like essentially an assassin hideout, and like they take care of you. You can't fight within the Continental. Like there's a whole bunch of rules. This is like a kind of a prequel series set in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And it has a young version of one of the characters, Winston, who's the head of the Continental in the John Wick franchise. The young version of him, he's played by Colin Woodall. Not super familiar with him, but Mel Gibson is in it for, this is a miniseries, three episodes, which I think is perfect, by the way. Not many other recognizable names other than Ray McKinnon, who is in Deadwood. And also Sons of Anarchy in a pretty good role.
I saw Adam, one of the cast members' name is Adam Shapiro, and I thought it said Abby Shapiro for a second. Bunga bunga.
Then we cook into the gas.
So where are we with Mel Gibson as a society, as people who talk about movies?
I mean, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, it's one of those things. He's a piece of shit.
There's really no way around him being a massive piece of
but
shit.
But I feel like he's been canceled, I feel like, several times.
Yeah, I was going to say like a
but
few
then he
times.
Comes back and he'll be in like a Will Ferrell movie and then he'll, or Mark Wahlberg movie, whatever. Yeah. And then he'll somehow like, he'll vanish again. And then he'll come back again, and now I feel he's coming back for, like, what, the 18th time now?
Yeah, it's weird movies.
It doesn't – he might be a piece of shit. Doesn't change the fact that he's wildly talented.
He'll go out of nowhere and just, like, direct a good movie or, like, he'll – but then he'll do a piece of shit one with his son who's a bad actor.
Yeah, like, I feel like he does a lot of, like, the video on demand, like the Bruce Willis stuff we saw.
Exactly, yes.
I feel like that's how he probably – but then he'll show up in something like this. So I'm just kind of, I'm just very confused with his arc.
And then he'll show up like and make Heartbreak Rich, which will like garner a bunch of warden attention and stuff like
and that. Yeah, he's been known as being a complete asshole for a long time.
It's called Hacksaw Ridge, you fucking idiot.
What did I call it?
Heartbreak.
Hacksaw
Ridge.
What's the one with Clint Eastwood where they do the Panama thing? Is that Heartbreak Hotel?
Yes. I think you're right. There's something called Heartbreak Hotel.
That was a good ass movie. Oh, I don't know if it's Heartbreak Hotel. Fuck, what is it? That was a really good one.
But with you know, he got nominated for an Oscar since he's been like canceled the first like
Heartbreak Ridge. That's why it's literally called Heartbreak Ridge.
I'm just baffled. Like I feel like every time Mel Gibson goes away, he always comes. He's like a boomerang. I don't get it.
Yeah, he's
Hollywood will give their own a lot of second chances. I mean, there is a fucking petition that all of Hollywood signed to get Roman Polanski let back into the industry in like 2000. This wasn't in 1990. This was in like 2012. Exactly. It was being signed by like Martin Scorsese and Wes Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Gibson is a really weird support system too. Like Robert Downey Jr., Jodie Foster, love him.
Yeah. I think he helped Robert Downey Jr. with his like drug and alcohol stuff, I think, a lot.
Yeah. They were also in that movie like when he was younger, Air America.
Yeah.
And then obviously Jodie Foster and him were in Maverick together.
Yeah.
But yeah, he has like this base of like people. And he also always talks he's going to do another Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
That never. I guess he's going to direct it now that Richard Donner's dead.
And Glover's way too old.
Wasn't there a Lethal Weapon reboot series?
There was.
Yeah, and it was bad. And there's the guy who played Mel Gibson's character.
Riggs, right?
Riggs
or Murtaugh?
It is Riggs. Murtaugh
is Denny Glover.
Yeah, he was such an asshole that they had to kick him off of the show And then I think they hired Sean William Scott actually to take that role. Mm. And then the show got canceled. I don't think it was good in the first place anyway. But yeah, I think a con of this is the fact that it's a Peacock show, as we were just talking about. Yeah, Peacock, like, they have Poker Face and what else?
Nothing. But the Poker Face gives me a lot of – they haven't done a ton of original programming.
I was looking at the list. They've done a decent chunk. It's all bad other than Poker Face.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
I don't know. I feel like they're in a very weird spot as a streamer, being like Paramount. Like, they are a network, but they're also a streamer now. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they exactly know what they want to do. Poker Face, I think, was a step in the right direction. I'm not sure like how many people watched it or how many signups they got from it. But the fact that they were able to put out, like, that was movie quality in some episodes. Like, you're pulling in major movie actors, and you have Rian Johnson, a major Hollywood writer, director, doing a full series for you, and he says he wants to do it forever. So I feel like that's a good step in the right direction. We'll see what happens with this John Wick series. It obviously needs to be TVMA.
Yeah.
Has to be. I don't see how you can't do John Wick if it's not MA.
You can't do that scale.
And then, like, I think this world is set up to be built off of. Like, this could be a major building block for them.
Yeah.
I think they're fucked. Peacock. I can't say the year 2030, so 7 years from now, I cannot envision any way Peacock exists. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see some of these smaller ones, just like in anything, just fall by the wayside. And they honestly would be like the first one. I know they have WWE.
Are they small, though? Because, I mean, it's a network television. Like, that is network TV.
But I think it's almost a disservice, though, because eventually you have to cut costs. Like, we saw with CNN. Remember CNN had one for like a second?
CNN Plus, baby.
And, like, they're like, all right, we got to cut costs. That's a great way to do it. And I have to imagine Peacock is hemorrhaging money. It has to be.
See, I would think the ESPN Pluses, the Tubis, those would fall much quicker.
See, I think ESPN can survive because it has, like, ESPN has licensing for college games.
They have ABC.
Whatever.
ABC's their backer.
And but I just feel like they have programming that they can throw in there that doesn't cost much. They've already paid the licensing fees. Where Peacock has to, this costs money to make this John Wick series. You know, it does. That is an expense.
So they have NBC among their comedy originals. The Saved by the Bell reboot ended. Punky Brewster ended. Rutherford Falls ended. Girls 5 Eva, never even heard of it. MacGruber ended. Take Note ended. Bust Down ended. Killing It ended. The Resort, which is pending. I heard the Resort was really good.
Oh, I
though.
Heard The Resort
so
rules.
That's okay. We'll add that onto the good list. Pitch Perfect, Bumper in Berlin.
That's the one with Adam Devine.
Yeah, no, never watched that. The Best Man, The Final Chapter, has never heard of it. Paul T. Goldman, have not heard of it. And then Poker Face.
But this is anecdotal, but like how often, I mean, we all talk about movies and TV
too, yeah.
pretty much every day in the office. I don't ever remember having, honestly, a conversation with any of you guys about Peacock. Something on Peacock.
Yeah, every other one has more notoriety for sure. And that's not to say, like, hey, Netflix has way more misses than hits.
Oh, yeah.
Massive margin. But also they have the hits, you know what I mean? Like the established hits. And this really has Poker Face and pending The Resort. We actually interviewed William Jackson Harper for that, I think. And I didn't
we did.
Chance to watch that yet. Also a bunch of other ones.
Bel Air. And I've heard the Bel Air reboot is actually very good.
They had Vampire Academy canceled. Friend of the Family, Irreverent, I don't know. And a lot of animation ones. Lots of unscripted stuff. Reality TV. Paris in Love. What the fuck? Anyway, that's my biggest hesitation. But I will say I'm happy it's a miniseries, 3 parts. If you were to make this into like a long running series, you could easily water down the entire John Wick experience, especially budgetarily wise, because like you need it to look good. And they also have the cinematographer, I think, for this is a good one, if I remember reading right. It's some, I forget who, I think it's a guy who did like Westworld and stuff like that.
Okay.
And maybe Criminal Minds, I forget. But it's a good cinematographer. And yeah, I'm excited for it because I have to be. I feel like I want to be positive about it because I love John Wick so much.
Yeah, no, I really want this to turn into something cool.
Yeah.
The John Wick universe is just a massive playground. I think they did the perfect job setting it up through the John Wick movies and that they didn't go too deep into it, but they put it enough into the background where you're like, huh, it's interesting.
Exactly.
High cool table lore. Stuff is cool. Like I really like it. Like all their language, the coins.
Yeah.
It's a very cool little system that they set up.
Very interesting lore. Okay, back to HBO Max.
Max
guys. They had their first teaser for the Batman spinoff series, The Penguin. And it looks very... Oh, I just realized my title on my own blog. I said, the spinoff series for The Batman. The Batman is here. Ben Affleck Fury. I doubled up on Batman.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, who cares? But yeah, so the spinoff for it's the Penguin. Colin Farrell reprising his role as the Penguin. A couple other additions onto the cast. Clancy Brown, who obviously was just in John Wick 4. Great voice, the voice of Mr. Krabs, one of the greatest.
Yeah. He's also in Shawshank Redemption. He's just Shawshank a great character. Actor.
He's so good.
He was in Highlander. He was the Kurgan.
What was he in recently that we just watched?
John Wick 4.
Is that it? No, but he was also in something else. He showed up out of nowhere.
He did kind of like in John Wick 2. He's just like
he's there. See if I can find it.
Michael Kelly from House of Cards joined on, and Kristen Milioti, who is amazing. Love that. Is in it. It follows the transformation of Oswald Cobblepot.
She's literally mother.
Yeah, and from disfigured nobody to noted Gotham gangster. How did you feel about, you know, you're a big like Batman guy. How did you feel about the Batman?
I thought it was way overrated. I thought it was okay. I give it like a B minus. I was a little disappointed. I expected more. I do think the best part of that movie was Colin Farrell as a Penguin. So I was excited when they were going to break that out. I watched the trailer. I thought it was interesting. Yeah, I liked the idea of making him more the crime boss.
Yeah.
Like, I like that element of the Penguin character in the comics as well. So I'm interested. I'm not maybe as excited as I would have been before I saw the Batman. Like, I just didn't think it was that great. But it was fine.
Boo.
I think that if you were to pick anything out of the Batman universe to do, this is the coolest because it's like Batman is the most grounded superhero probably among all the big top tier elites. And I would say like this part of Gotham is even more grounded scenario. You're basically doing like almost Soprano shit within the Batman universe of Gotham, I guess. And that shit is very cool to me. I think a lot of parts in this trailer were interesting. Just like even like he's just sitting there talking to somebody and just goes like
yeah.
Burps that guy up. It was cool shit.
And his Lambo.
Yeah, and his Lambo. But yeah,
purple Lamborghini.
A lot of cool stuff in it.
But I'm excited for that. I'll definitely at least watch the first episode for sure.
Glad you said Sopranos too, because I'd be shocked if Colin Farrell didn't say this. His Penguin isn't in some way very inspired by James Gandolfini, like because it's. There's a lot of traits that you're that feels very, very Tony Soprano-esque.
The showrunner, by the way, is Craig Zobel, who directed all of Mare of Easttown, which is a very good show. Very good miniseries on HBO, or now Max. It was on HBO. It debuted on HBO, as well as a bunch of episodes of Westworld and The Leftovers, which, as long as those episodes of Westworld were in season one.
I was going to say, as long as they're first season, then we're doing good. Great.
Still shot pretty well in the later seasons. The story just quit making sense.
That's true. That's fair.
Yeah. That's fair.
Everything looked good post season one. It's just like, what is happening?
Yeah. Talk about a disappointment. Talk about a show. I mean, a few shows fell off.
One of the best first seasons of television the 21st century.
True Detective would be the biggest fall off.
That's
True.
True
Detective season one, one of the greatest seasons.
It's almost unfair to include True because that's so anthology.
Yeah, I agree.
The sheer quality drop off of one to two is like going off a cliff. It went from like one of the best shows on television to unwatchable.
I gave up three episodes in. I was like, I can't do this.
Yep. It's so bad. And that's another Colin Farrell role, actually, was True Detective season two. After that, they also dropped a trailer for season four of True Detective, which we were just talking about. It's set takes place, I think, up in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, set in Alaska, follows Detective Liz Danvers. Danvers is just, I feel like it's a good, powerful woman name now.
I mean, shout out Carol Danvers.
as Evangeline Navarro, and Evangeline Navarro, as they investigate disappearance of six men from a research station. I like the research station vibes. It immediately gives me thoughts of like The Thing or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I love the setting of anywhere where you're covered in snow. I think is super cool because you have the sense of like isolation. I think I quoted even when I blogged it a couple different ones that like Wind River, The Thing we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Winter's Bone, Misery, The Shining.
Like I think of Insomnia.
Yeah, Insomnia. Great. Yeah,
Pacino and Robin Williams that took place in Alaska. Also during like great periods of daylight. Where this appears to be great periods of
a lot of darkness.
Yeah.
And like we were just talking about with True Detective, season one, incredible. Season two, unbelievably dog shit. And then season three, I think it was like definitely right of the ship, nowhere near as good as season one.
I didn't
one.
Watch it all because I was like, I'm good.
Yeah. Mahershala Ali.
It was Mahershala Ali and he was really good at it. But this, like, I don't know if we'll get anywhere close to the same level as season one.
I'm more excited for this than I have been for the other incarnations of True Detective.
Yeah. And especially because it's Jodie Foster. Like, is there one person, is there a more famous or iconic female crime character than...
Oh, crime? Yeah.
Yeah, than Clarice. And Silence of the Lambs.
I mean, maybe like this is not crime, but like Jamie Lee Curtis in like the Halloween movies, but that's not crime. It's horror.
Yeah, but it's more horror. Like I'm just thinking like crime, like legit crime. Like Clarice is that person.
Yeah, I mean, such a great character.
Yeah. I'm fucking not gonna rewatch that too. And that's based off, that's basically true crime too, because the Buffalo Bill guy was real as
right.
well. And a lot of this I think is just really interesting. I think there's some new guys that joined in. Chris Mundy, who was the showrunner of Ozark. He also ran Bloodline and did Criminal Minds. Joined on. Barry Jenkins.
Bloodline? I did.
Bloodline, the first season. Awesome.
Yes.
I watched it with my roommate. And yeah, he loved that show and he had it on all the time. Very good.
First season's really good. Sick. First season's great.
Yeah.
And then the second season, I kind of enjoyed parts of it.
Yeah.
The third season, I didn't enjoy any of it.
Yeah.
I don't think I watched past season one because, like I said, it was just something my roommate had on.
Crazy cast.
Yeah. It's like Kyle Chandler.
Sam Shepard. Yeah. It's
SpaceX.
Kyle Chandler. Linda Cardellini. Ben Mendelsohn is great.
Really good in that.
Really good in that. Yeah. I think he, I don't know if you, I know he was at least nominated for an Emmy. He might have won.
Yeah.
He was that good.
That was like, I think, my first big exposure to him, too. Where like, he'd been in like smaller roles and stuff, but I saw him in that and I was like, holy shit, this guy rocks.
Yeah.
And then like Mississippi Grind? What the fuck was that gambling
movie? That sounds right. Yeah. Mississippi Grind was the gambling one.
Yeah. I liked him in that, too. But yeah, so Barry Jenkins, executive producing, which isn't necessarily mean that he's like super hands-on or anything.
Yeah, you never know what those producing titles are.
Yeah. Issa Lopez is the showrunner. I'm not crazy familiar with her, but the last movie that she was the screenwriter-director on was a horror movie called Tigers Are Not Afraid, and has like 99s across the board everywhere you look.
Oh, okay.
Which is interesting.
Horror.
Yeah,
horror okay.
movie, which is good for this.
Yeah, I was going to say, the trailer.
The trailer felt very like a...
Felt like a horror.
Yeah.
Especially when they pulled out the symbol from season one.
Yes.
I was like, oh shit.
Exactly.
Oh, shit. And they're getting a through line here?
Yeah.
They show like boots with no one in them. Like, what would scare you so much you'd run across the ice in your bare feet? Which is a great premise. Like, oh, I'm in at that point.
That is like a rip from Wind River too, though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, like they say, like, how, imagine how much of like a warrior you got to be to run without.
Yeah, she ran. Yeah, what is she? What is they say? She ran eight miles in the snow.
I got to rewatch that movie too, man.
Very good.
So
movie.
Good.
Yeah,
the whole Frontier trilogy, like Sicario, that and Hell or High Water.
It's funny. Sicario is the one I like the least.
Yeah,
those three.
I mean, I if you said any of them, you can put them in any order. I'd be hard to disagree.
It's
with
kind
it.
Of a distant third. That's not as much of a knock on Sicario as it is a how praise for Hell or High Water and Wind River.
Wind River is my number one.
Hell or High Water is not
good. That Why Are You Flanking Me scene in Wind River is so good. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that hopefully better than a passable season, and I hope that we get like maybe in the same stratosphere as season one, it'd be great.
Well, HBO or Max, whatever it is in kind of a difficult spot because you have Succession ending, and the very same night Succession ends, Barry ends.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Two of their more award bait shows are going to be gone in like what, 6, 8, 10 weeks from now.
Yeah.
So there's not. You know, there's not a lot left, you know, on HBO's library of like high quality shows. So they got to find some other ones. And I don't know if they have these there or not.
They're going to have plenty of Game of Thrones coming up. They got like 8 things planned with that.
Yeah. And they have like,
I'm sure they'll make probably 3 of them. Then they have the Harry Potter stuff is very clearly going to be a massive push from them.
That's
going
to take so much time, though, to do.
It's going to take a ton of time. But I think if that first season hits, and I think it will, they're going to do Marauders. They're going to do. You may not be familiar with like Harry Potter, but there's plenty of different directions they can go in that universe.
They can.
And I'm positive they will.
But if I'm HBO, I'm like, all right, yeah, we did The Last of Us, huge hit. But they didn't greenlight season two until season one was already in progress. And that takes so long to make.
Yeah.
What do you got from me now? Like, that's what they must be. You know, some of those shows that already have a history, like Succession of Barry, you can turn it around quicker. You have the sets, you have it casted, where some of these shows are going to take years to develop.
You watch Hacks?
Or Hacks, you'd like Hacks. I think.
Hacks is very funny.
Is it?
I don't talk to anyone that watches it. It's probably one of the funniest shows I've watched the last 5 years. It's just two female comedians. One's older and she's very crass and says whatever.
Oh, so played by Jean Smart. Jean Smart? Okay.
Yeah. And she's very crass and says whatever the fuck she wants. And the other comedian is her. She's got a writer with her and she's like this young millennial. Or she's actually, I think, even Gen Z, and she's like, you know, offended by everything, and it makes her very funny.
That is funny.
It's a funny dynamic.
I think Righteous Gemstones is coming back at some point.
Righteous Gemstones,
very
they have
funny
that.
Show.
But yeah, no, the Prestige.
I haven't. I love Vice Principals, though.
Yeah, then you'd like, I think you'd really like Righteous Gemstones. White Lotus eventually will come back.
Right, sure. and that's, you know, and Euphoria, they have that, I know, and that will.
Yeah,
but as far as your, like, award bait shows, though, I mean, Barry and Succession are both, you know, instant check marks for that. And they got to replay, you know, AMC's in kind of the same boat with, you know, with Better Call Saul ending. You know, like, I think they kind of depend on some of that free promotion they get for those awards.
So they have The Idol coming up. That's the one with the Weeknd made with Sam Levinson, who did Euphoria.
See, they're going to premiere that at Cannes.
It's an A24 shit thing, so if that's not,
I don't even totally understand crazy. How the fuck you premiere a TV show at Cannes. Like, are they just going to play the pilot?
That's what they've done in the past. Like,
I didn't know that they even had to do that.
And they also have another thing coming up, The Sympathizer, which they dropped the trailer for as well.
I need to watch the trailer for that.
The trailer for it's kind of interesting. It's based on a book that has like super rave reviews. It's based on like a double agent that works for like the North Vietnamese government, goes to America, and like there's a bunch of other stuff like double identity stuff involved with it. Hoa Swind in it, as well as Robert Downey Jr. It's directed by Park Chan-wook, who made Old Boy, Handmaiden, a bunch of other great stuff.
What did he do? Did he do Broker last year?
I'm not sure.
I'm
not sure, but he did those two movies, which are incredible. And this series, I'm already super excited for, because I love spy stuff.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So like that immediately like brings up the level for me. Some of the stuff in the trailer looked really cool.
He did Decision to Leave last year, which should have won Best Cinematography. That's one of the best shot movies I've ever fucking seen.
Yeah, he rocks. Super good director. And I think that him being a showrunner and something as like complex as this, like a spy thriller show, I'm really in on. Especially after, I think, the success of Andor, right? Where like Andor was like watching that series.
Was it successful or was it just good?
Andor?
I'm starting to worry that I've talked to so many fucking people who have not watched this goddamn show. Star Wars fans.
You could say it's not like you could say that about almost any Emmy-winning show. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
true.
There's so many where people just don't watch it, but it is
very good. There's so many options now. I
mean, exactly. That's part of the problem. But yeah, I'm kind of really excited for this. I don't know.
I have a question. I'm ambivalent. I guess that's the kind of show where it depends on the reviews. Mm-hmm. Or even if I talk to you in the office or whatever. Like, that's like, all right, you know, you got Robert Downey Jr. Is there an appetite for him post Iron Man from mass audiences? And I'm starting to say no, which I never thought I'd say.
I don't think people want to see him outside of that role. He was so good and so iconic in that role that it's almost a detriment to his career post. Because you watch him and his acting style is not very, it doesn't have the widest range. Like when he plays a character, he brings a lot of the RDJ, like,
the baggage,
the personality, the charisma, the snarkiness, like almost all of his roles have that. And when you see it, you immediately go to, well, that's Tony Stark. So I think post Endgame, it's been interesting to see what he hasn't done.
See him in Oppenheimer soon.
Oppenheimer.
Okay. That would be bad, but that wasn't his fault.
Doolittle was terrible.
Yeah.
That was somewhat his fault.
That is, I think, a lot of his fault because, I mean, he chose to do – that was his first major role after –
post, yeah.
So, like, I mean, you got to be careful with that, right? You got to make sure it's the right thing to do. I mean, it's your first thing outside of this – and it's not like you can afford to be patient. I mean, he's like – he's worth, what, $1 billion?
So much money.
An insane amount of money. He got points on all the Marvel movies. Like, he's, like, the richest man alive almost. Like, so why jump into some of these things? So I'm a little bit – and maybe that was – I don't know. I saw that trailer and I saw him playing a bunch of different roles or a bunch of different disguises or something, and I'm like, oh, boy, here we go.
I think I've heard about this before with some actors where, like, when they do certain roles for a long time, period of time, like, when their next movie, they want to just do something that's in the opposite realm.
Of course.
And I think, like, if you're doing something that was, like, not necessarily, like, the Captain America or anything Avengers is, like, super dark or anything like that, but where he was entrenched in the role of Iron Man, maybe he's like, I just want to do something fun. You know what I mean? And like theoretically,
why not go do something adult then? Go do do something like Oppenheimer or do something that's like.
I think he's rich enough where he doesn't give a shit about doing an award.
He needs
movie
to take
for
his
while.
Fucking money and get fucking Sherlock Holmes 3 made.
I wonder how. Yeah,
the first Holmes. Two movies were great. Some of the best Sherlock Holmes, if not the best Sherlock Holmes we've seen on screen. And he was perfect for the role. The Guy Ritchie stylization was awesome. Like. Get the gang back together. Bring another. And I've talked about it, but make it happen before it's too late.
Here's the answer: Robert Downey Jr. has paid $20 million for Doolittle, to star in Doolittle.
To me isn't like that's he's he makes that you know one day of a Marvel release like that doesn't mean that doesn't mean anything like that's. Let's say me giving you $20 and be like, all right, now you got to go do a shitty move. Like, you'd be like, oh, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, once you're at that
100 million doesn't mean
the same. Once you're at that 100 million threshold, too.
And he's worth $1 billion.
I would imagine that, though, with something like that, it's just, I don't know. I feel like it's a little bit of a different scenario. Because, like, he just has so much money that he has that, like, the more you make, the more you can afford to, like, sit on it and, like, wait for a better project.
That's what I mean. That's why I'm shocked.
He is listed on 9 upcoming projects.
He has $300 million in the bank, apparently.
Oppenheimer? Sympathizer. Sherlock Holmes 3 is actually listed in his IMDb, but that's just because that has always been on the table and they've always talked about it.
It's always floated.
There's no fucking way. There's another Pinocchio. Holy shit.
He was in the 2001 music video for I Want Love, Elton John.
He was in Ally McBeal for a couple years.
He is doing a Vertigo remake. I remember.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that. A movie that doesn't need to be. Hitchcock movies don't need to be remade. They hold up. They're like, it's one of those weird things.
Rear Window holds up so well. If anyone who's watching this hasn't seen, I know it seems old. It is fantastic. It works just as well now as it did when it made James Stewart, Grace Kelly. Watch Rear Window if you haven't seen it. It's fantastic. It will not disappoint.
I'd say that about pretty much all Hitchcock movies. It's like one of those, it's just a weird thing where a lot of old movies don't hold up, but his movies really, really do.
I think what happened was his style was so innovative. Other directors kind of took from him, and we see it in movies we see now. Like, he was such a great director that it holds up because of that reason.
I rewatched Chaplin recently.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That movie too long, but like, he's really good in that. Yeah, he was fantastic in that.
Sneaky, one of my favorite movies of his, Charlie Bartlett. I really like that movie with young Anton Yelchin. He was such a good actor.
Yeah, R.I.P. Crazy death. One of the crazier deaths I think I've ever read about in my life.
He got hit in his own driveway, right?
His car, it was on like a hill, and it just like the brake failed or something, and it just crushed him up against like his fence, and I think he just couldn't get away. And no one came to help, which sucks. He was in Gothic. He was in like a weird string of movies during the bad period.
He had major drug issues. He woke up in a neighbor's bed, neighbor's daughter's bed. It was like crazy stuff. Yeah. Like every 6 weeks, we'd hear another crazy Robert Downey Jr. story in the late 90s.
I did not realize that they made a Scanner Darkly separate one in 2006 with Keanu Reeves, Woody Harrelson.
RDJ grew up here, right?
In New York, I believe so. His dad is like big weed.
Yeah. His dad, I remember seeing like a story where he told about his dad making him smoke weed with him when he was like seven years old or something.
They just did some big documentary, him and his dad.
He was on Saturday Night Live when he was very young.
Yeah.
Very young.
Anyway, that's a sympathizer. The only other thing was Mia Goth got cast in Blade, which is cool.
We could also do the Marvels trailer, wrap it in with all the Marvel stuff.
But Mia Goth getting cast in Blade is awesome. I think you had tweeted it like, if awards aren't going to give me shit, then
why not? Yeah, she's very clearly, I think, just getting the bag here.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know. This project is very, it's one of the weirder Marvel things where they announced it, 5 years ago now?
Yeah.
And it's been scrapped and they've reassembled a team. They were supposed to start shooting in November and they canceled the production like 2 weeks before because I think Mahershala Ali was basically like, nope, I'm not gonna fucking do it if you don't fix the script.
Yeah.
And they canned the writer, the director, he brought in a whole new team. I think it will be rated R. I think Deadpool 3 is gonna make $1 billion and then MCU will finally have that band-aid ripped off where they'll be like, oh well, we can do it sometimes. So if it is rated R and, you know, there's a lot of creative control here and it's not, you know, tied into the MCU too much to the point where it's basically a commercial for the next thing, Blade could be good. Mm-hmm. Mahershala Ali is one of the 10 best actors working. Mia Goth is a fantastic actress.
I would say one of the top 10 working actresses based off of.
And this is a good fit. If she's going to do something superhero, this is a great fit because it's, you know, dark horror. But outside of that, it's like, the MCU, like I said, I'm just cold on it right now.
Oh, I'm out on it. I might check out Blade, like, you know, if it's the right thing. But for the most part, I am done with Marvel. I'm done with Star Wars. For at least a little while. I just need a break.
How'd you feel about the original Blades, the Wesley Snipes?
They were good. I remember watching. I only saw the first one.
I mean, the blood shower is one of the coolest things.
Yeah, I saw when it came out. I haven't seen it since.
Yeah.
It was good.
Christopherson, right?
Chris Christopherson's in that, yeah.
Chris Christopherson, him, Donald Lush, right? The guy from Granted for Life.
I forget him right. Lougue.
Yeah.
Yes.
And a couple other people. But yeah, I like the OG Blade. I mean, until the second one is not as good, and the third one is not good. Yeah.
It's still one of the funniest behind the scenes things ever. When Wesley Snipes refused to open his eyes and they had to CGI his eyes.
Oh, really?
He was like feuding with the director and like he's like, I'm not opening my eyes for your shot. So they just CGI'd his eyes opening.
It's bad. It's bad, you know, 1999 CGI. Like, it just looks terrible.
I did watch the trailer.
It's a fun. I said this it when it came out.
Trailer.
It's a very fun. It's a well put together trailer. But Marvel puts together great trailers.
They do
a good job of it. I don't know if they outsource it or they do it in house, but whoever's doing it is doing a great job. Mm-hmm. I think if they keep it more self contained, I think it'll be better. I think they've had a bad tendency lately where everything is a commercial for the next thing where it used to be lately? You watch the movie, it's very self-contained. There's maybe a little Easter
very
egg.
Self-contained.
I think back in the day, phase one, phase two, phase three, I think everything was, for the most part, self-contained to a movie if it wasn't a big Avengers team up. There'd be an Easter egg or two in the background, and then you'd get to the end credits, and then it would be the commercial for the next movie. Mm-hmm. Now it's like the whole movie is a commercial for the next movie. Or they take 30 minutes in the middle of Black Panther Wakanda Forever to set up Ironheart. And it's like, it's really hurting the product.
I wonder what they're going to do with Jonathan Majors, because the lawyer dropping that text history that made everything so much worse. That looks so much worse. Like, I don't know if he thought that that looked good for him, for Jonathan Majors. It looked real bad.
I think they're waiting to see if public sentiment sways at any point until they have to make a decision.
They haven't said
a damn thing. I think they'll put out some feelers, like maybe a rumor will drop. They'll like leak something. Oh, Jonathan Majors is going to come back. Yeah. That's the word I'm hearing.
Yeah.
And then they'll see like kind of how the public reacts to that.
Yeah.
And then like if it's negative, they'll go, all right, we got to fix this. And then if it's like, whatever, they'll just stick with them.
Yeah, that is the most interesting thing to look forward to. But Marvel's trailer, I would agree with you. It's just like bright, fun, good, some good one-liners.
Iman Vellani.
Brie Larson is hot as fuck.
Holy shit. Yeah. Grown men complaining about seeing Brie Larson in a tight white tank top with her big Oonga Boongas hanging out. Good Lord. Couldn't be me. You little piss boys.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm all for feminism.
One line is very funny.
I'm all for feminism and women when they look like that.
just what Gloria Steinem wanted to hear 50 years ago.
Iman Vellani was funny in the Marvels. I think that was like, it wasn't like a blow you away series or anything like that.
No, it wasn't.
Very watchable.
The first episode was very good and then it really fell off from there. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, she's a very well casted character.
Yeah.
In terms of, you couldn't ask for much better out of a kid.
And was it Tiona Paris's Rambo? She's the one that hasn't had any shine really at all. Like the other,
she was in WandaVision, and then
one has a series, one has a movie, and multiple movies, I guess. And then the other one is just like had a couple episodes of a series. That doesn't feel like a total mashup, like total equal mesh.
Yeah.
But maybe she's like more of a main character in this than the rest of them, then it makes more sense. All right.
Feeling lucky? You should be. Meet the new Lucky One sweet tea from Miss Peaches, the vodka drink that's positively doing good. Made with real tea and real vodka, non-carbonated, 100 calories. And here's the scoop. Their new sweet tea is the only vodka-based sweet tea on the market. Simple ingredients in a smooth, full flavor that makes it taste just like the real sweet tea. Best part? Every can helps rescue dogs find their forever homes as they work to a goal of donating $1 million to dog rescues in 2026. So if you love true sweet tea, this one's a no-brainer. Pick up a Lucky One sweet tea today and give back one can at a time.
Now we're going to do a draft because we have Renfield coming up, actually releasing today in theaters. We're going to do a little draft of what was the Mean Girls thing?
Methodical creatures.
So yeah, in honor of the vampires getting some shine, wanted to do a little mythological creature draft.
So I played Renfield in my high school play.
You played Renfield?
I played Renfield. And it was I'll sing the song. I was a freshman. I was very short, so I was skinny and short as a freshman. I grew between a freshman and sophomore year. I grew 9 inches.
Jesus.
Yeah. It was. But so I was very short, and the Dracula was this very tall kid, Josh Jenisch, and he played Dracula. He was very tall, and I was very short. And the show was called "I'm Sorry, the Bridge is Out." And the song went, "I'm sorry, the bridge is out. You'll have to spend the night." And it was about this couple that, obviously you can tell bridge was out, but they end up in like a Transylvania type castle. And Dracula's there, and there's all sorts of monsters there. But I was Renfield.
Holy shit. That's awesome. I had no idea.
And you still sleep on the ceiling till this day.
I do, yeah. Well, it's comfortable. You learn, you know. I mean, I'm also waiting for the sequel. I'm hoping they bring us all back. You know, it's only been.
So, are you excited for Renfield?
No.
After all that, you know, I will say,
the first trailer dropped. The first day the trailer dropped, I watched it and I was like, "Oh, this will be fun." They have played this fucking trailer.
It's in subway stations wherever you go. Yes. Any subway station, I see it. I'm like, oh my God.
This is the definition of overexposing your fucking
movie.
I've
heard good things for the most part about it.
Yeah, but the trailer, they just got to quit fucking playing that trailer every commercial break, no matter what channel you're on. You're watching Netflix and all of a sudden that trailer comes on. It's insane.
It's got a 61 on Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't know. Do we need to see Nicolas Cage be like, kind of wacky with an edge to him, and it just seems exhausting. I don't know.
And I like Nicholas Holt. I'm actually an Awkwafina defender.
I like Nicholas Holt. Yeah,
I am an Awkwafina. I know some people hate her.
About as big a turnaround as anyone's ever had, because the early Awkwafina, no good.
She was awesome for like 6 months, and then people hated her for the next 3 years.
And then she turned it around. I think
Nora from Queens is very funny.
Nora from Queens is super funny. But I think it was The Farewell that did it. That was
she was great in that.
All right, so it's Gooch, Clamor, then me. So Gooch, you get the first pick in the Mythical Creatures draft.
You know, I thought I was going to do this off the head.
It's harder than you think.
It's very hard.
I think there's a clear, actually, now that I'm looking at the clear one, I think is just a dragon.
Just dragons? You're right. No, I have them in my top three.
Dragons are just inherently cool. Mm-hmm. Show me a five-year-old boy, ask him what his favorite animal is. There's a good chance he'll say dragon.
Still is crazy that every culture had dragons. Like on
really,
like yeah, every yeah, culture that, on Earth. That's stay woke on that one.
No, yeah, every culture on Earth, like every culture had some form of like a dragon in their myth,
like a flying lizard.
Yeah,
huh? I like lizards. I've never liked dragons. Mm. I don't care for dragons.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they burn down your villages growing up?
I like it when dragons. I like it. Like in Lord of the Rings, I liked it the fact that like dragons are very sentient and like knowledgeable and like they're wise and geniuses. Mm. I think The Witcher has that same lore to it as well. I like it when dragons are smart and they can speak.
I like the fantasy genre, and I think that's makes me not like dragons because there's such a big part of it, and I think that has led me to have some animosity. Maybe not fair, unfairly.
These are all fantasy creatures. Mm-hmm. So,
well, no, not exactly. I have some. John Rich helped me with my list because I wanted to go a little outside the box with some stuff. So, I don't have it all like fantasy genre stuff.
Yeah,
I tried to stay away from.
It's gonna take the fucking liger.
The liger from I only know that from Napoleon Dynamite. Like I never heard of a liger before that.
I don't think it's a real thing.
Well, can you crossbreed a lion?
Actually, there was a really fucked up picture of a liger where someone did it.
Oh,
and it was like, yeah, they shouldn't have done this.
Do ligers exist? They do not live in the wild. They only exist in captivity.
But they
do exist.
So they're not.
There we go.
Not mythical.
But yeah, no dragons. I mean, the scales. They come in different colors. Fire breathing.
Cool.
Fire breathing is cool as fuck.
Yeah. And other ones have like different abilities, like the ones at least in like Skyrim and stuff. Some will like blow like ice, something like that, or they'll do other stuff. They'll eat your soul or some shit. A lot of cool powers.
You're a female dragon. Yeah, well, of course you are.
Yeah,
your scales are so shiny.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing a good Eddie Murphy.
Keep going. Anything else? Any other black comedians you want to impersonate?
I got a good.
Let's hear a Patrice O'Neal while you got it.
I think of Viola Davis.
Yeah.
I'm stopping myself. I'm not going to do it. There was a brief second where I was like, I got a Chappelle bit.
No. Clever.
All right. So I walked by this guy. We have the Jack Lynx.
I wanted him. Damn.
I walked by this Sasquatch. We have the cardboard cutout. I almost brought him in here. I didn't want to give away my pick. But I love this man. And I want to kiss him on the forehead all the time. And I was asking because I think about him a lot. And I was talking with Vibs about it. And I'm like, why do I love this man so much? And I finally clicked in. Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh,
the movie from the 80s, which I grew up. Yeah. It was on HBO a ton as a kid. I'm like, oh, that guy was so lovable. And I think it's made me kind of love Bigfoot. So I had to go with Bigfoot, the Sasquatch.
Yeah.
I love this guy. Uh-huh. And I want to hug him, and I want to like have him be like kind of like in the home. I love dogs, and it's kind of like a smarter
big
dog.
Man dog. Yeah,
like I just think the Bigfoot is the greatest. Mm-hmm. Now, if you watch the commercials for the Jack Lynx man, though, he is not very friendly.
No, bad guy.
He is commits a lot of like vandalism and things like that. So I don't know if I like that part, but I would love a kind Sasquatch.
Have you seen the new Jack Lynx commercials where it's a guy pissing in the...
Yes.
That's a very funny commercial. If you haven't seen it, he's like pissing and then he takes a bite. For some reason, he's got a Slim Jim with him while he's taking a piss. Mm-hmm. Won't judge a man for doing that, but takes a bite of the Slim Jim and then all of a sudden like his stream goes from like, you know, just a normal stream and then he's like a fire hose like shooting at the urinal from like 10 feet out. Funny.
Those are good ones. Bigfoot, I think, is the perfect pick because he is one that's inspired, I think, so many different like clubs, associations, people that go out in the woods in the Pacific Northwest and just search for this thing that everyone knows. Like, it's not real, but like everyone like wants to go find him anyway. Very funny movie, an indie movie that I watched as a kid with my brothers, The Sasquatch Gang, with Justin Long and a bunch of other people. So such a stupid movie, but very funny. And I think like he's inspired just so much. It's the best like modern myth.
Yes.
I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there are still people today that are like, oh, if I go in the Pacific Northwest, I'll just find him one day.
Right.
Like, here he is bounding through a mist where I can't take a good picture of him or something like that. That's a great, great pick.
The picture is so stupid.
It's always him just walking.
Yeah. It's like his leg. Away. He's like walking away. Right? He's always like.
Yeah. He's always got like in the middle of like a weird walking pose.
It's just White Sox Dave.
Yeah. It's literally that hairy motherfucker. All right. For mine, I got back to back. I'll start with werewolves. I think werewolves are very cool. And I think that I'm going to back to back them with their mortal enemies, vampires. So I'm going to do werewolves and vampires. I think werewolves are a little bit cooler because dogs.
We have a little Team Edward, Team Jacob situation. Exactly.
Well, I'm going to get so many fucking votes from that crowd.
Even though technically Team Jacob was not a werewolf. He was a shapeshifter.
Yeah. But anyway, werewolves. this is like an underworld matchup more than anything else.
You asked like worst, when we did the bracket, you asked for worst fads and trends. And one of mine was Twilight.
Well, yours was Twilight. Your submissions. That's right.
Buddy, I read those books and the movies didn't do him justice.
The sparkling vampires. But werewolves, I think, are super awesome. Number one, it's just you're turning from man into a dog. Two great animals. So I'd say like 1A, 1B. And I think like the thought of being able to turn yourself into this giant creature that could eat or destroy anything is awesome.
It's not a good movie. But you know what's an interesting werewolf movie? It's Wolf with Jack Nicholson and Michelle Pfeiffer. It's just an interesting movie.
They're going to say American Werewolf in London.
No, that's a better movie. But but Wolf is just like a weird look at the 90s and like Jack Nicholson. If you want to like watch a kind of an interesting one, you haven't seen that one, might be worth checking out.
Yeah. Keep that one. I'm gonna in the back. But I'm going to watch it, I think, when I get home. I don't think I've seen it.
What's your favorite vampire movie? Because there's so many.
There's a lot. I think I could find out.
I'm going to try and watch another one tonight just to get in the mood for Renfield. But I watched Interview with a Vampire.
I love Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah, I do too.
I like parts of it. Parts of it are flawed.
Anything where it's the older Brad Pitt talking to Christian Slater, be gone.
Yeah.
But everything where it was like
interactions. Family, yeah.
Some of the Tom Cruise stuff works for me and some of it doesn't.
I think he's so good at playing a bad guy.
I think he is fucking phenomenal. I remember him being good, but he is really fucking good in that movie, I think.
Perfectly evil. And like, also, what's her name? Was really good too.
Kristen Dunst. She's very good.
Yeah. She, for her age, was doing incredible stuff. I know. I wonder what we subcategorize this under. Monsters and Creatures, I guess. I have a lot of other stuff. I'm trying to think of what the best vampire movies. I don't know. But like, maybe it's just more the concept of a vampire.
Bram Stoker's
I have up there.
Bram Stoker. I was going to say Coppola. I did not really like that when it came out.
Bram Stoker's, I think, is. I have it up there.
Great cast.
Yes, very
good. Gary Oldman's a good like bad guy in that, but it's.
But yeah, there's a lot of fun here. And I think like they populate a weird space vampires where it's like they'll have a lot of movies that maybe aren't like top tier elite or anything like that. But like their lore is super cool. Can't see the sun.
Salem's Lot is a great book.
Always hot.
Yeah, always. Always the sexiest thing.
At what point
did
we add that to their lore?
I think after the Nosferatu, like bald golem one, they're like, we got to make this guy into Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
Like, you got to make him a sexier dude. But I think both of these, vampire, werewolf, just like Bigfoot, where it's like they have a very big grasp on modern society still, despite being like pretty older.
So those are your two?
That's my two, werewolves and vampires. Clemmer, you're back up.
All right. So any parent listening to this with their kid, let's just shut the podcast off right now or hit 30 a bunch of times. I'll give you a second to do that. Okay. So my pick is going to be Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
That's a good idea. No, I like that.
He's not mythological.
He's mythical. It's mythical.
It's a mythical creature.
He's not methodical.
It's not a methodical creature.
He's very methodical. He's always.
He is actually, yeah.
He has to plan all of those houses to go to. That's a lot of.
Seven and a half billion houses.
Yeah. What's better than this guy? Gives you gifts. You know, you see him in the mall, but obviously, you know, you learn later on.
He's the captain of the best holiday of the year.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I think that's very good. Meanwhile, like, every other spokesperson of every other holiday, so like Easter Bunny.
No, right. Tooth Fairy
get fucked. Like the Valentine's Day cherub. No, like they all stink.
So I'm very content with Santa. Santa Claus is who's giving me more?
He's genuinely the most, I would say, the most loved of any of these creatures we're going to talk.
Like, very bad Santa Claus movie with Santa Claus, the movie with Dudley Moore. That's in the 80s.
But then there's Bad Santa, literally, which is a good movie.
And Santa Claus, which is fine. It's
Miracle on 34th Street. He was a good Santa. He was a good Santa.
Yeah, he was a very nice man.
And also, who played? Was it Ed Asner played? No, yeah, Ed Asner played Santa in Elf. He was pretty good.
No, Bob Newhart. No, Ed Asner played Santa. Bob Newhart played another elf, right?
Played a dad elf, I think, right?
Elf is great.
Yeah, I love Elf, man.
Elf is very good.
It's another Jon Favreau banger. Just, man.
Elf is really good.
John Favreau just has like one of the most unique minds, I think.
Crazy.
Like range.
He did like Marvel movies. He also did like Chef, which is a fantastic little movie. Yep. Like
He has a very innate ability of tapping into the American, like Americana.
Yeah.
Like, he's like,
he wrote Swingers.
It. Yeah. He just like. Knows like just where the ethos of the American public is.
That's a great description. I completely agree, Gooch. That's really good.
And he just shows up in stuff like I Love You Man or whatever. Yeah. And just be like incredible, like in a side role. Or like,
Him and the we talked about earlier, The Replacements. Him and The Replacements is fucking hilarious. He's just a roided up. Juiced up linebacker. It's so weird seeing him like just jacked and then you flip on fucking Chef. Yeah. He's just like, that's what he looks like now. He's
right.
Just, massive. What did John Leguizamo said he gained, what, like 100 pounds while filming? Which is just insane.
What was that is insane.
For a guy who's like, I think, probably 5'10".
Was he a UFC fighter in Friends, too, I think?
Yes. No. Four Christmases, he plays Vaughn's brother, who's he wears like tap-out shirts, and he fucking loves fighting.
Wait, no. But I think he played a literal UFC.
Oh,
like,
he fights really?
Tank Abbott or something. Like, OG UFC, I think, in Friends, if I remember correctly. I think.
John. Oh, sure. He was in Friends. Okay, hold on.
Let's see.
I love that Friends has a fandom.
Of course. Oh, yeah.
Like a fandom page for those listening. It's like the websites. Let's see. I mean, this is just a Wikipedia page.
It's a full-on Wikipedia. It's the character of him.
Of him.
As a person. Let's just see. John Favreau. I saw a clip of him in a UFC fight where he just gets demolished by Tank Abbott.
His character was funny in Four Christmases. And they do the Secret Santa, and they accidentally buy the kids an Xbox. And he's like, would you find that for $5? Because the spending limit was supposed to be $5.
So he got, in Friends, he was a UFC fighter and got his ass beat by Tank Abbott and ended up in a full body cast like you can see.
Who's he date? Monica?
Yeah, looks like it. He looked good here. This is a good look for him. Oh, why the fuck did I just bring me to a book?
I mean, he was very handsome.
Yeah.
He still is. He's just a different kind of handsome.
Yeah. Gooch, you have back-to-back.
First pick. I'm going to go with the Griffin.
The Griffin.
Which looks
anything
like...
Anything that can fly is good.
It looks like the most rideable creature.
Chill.
Listen, you can ride that thing. Dude, he's got the body of Aslan, the lion. He's got the wings of an eagle and the face of an eagle, head of an eagle.
Major paws.
I would ride him all day. Griffin is very cool. Just a cool-looking creature.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good one. And you have back-to-back.
Was the hippogriff a griffin?
Yeah, I think but they just called it something. They called it a different name.
And then the other one, I'm going to go with the mermaid. Because they're hot as fuck.
It's one thing, like, I remember the argument would always be, but it doesn't have a bottom human
buddy,
half.
Buddy, I'll figure it out.
But think about it this way. What if it was the other way around? And if it's woman legs and a fish head? No way. No.
I mean, Daryl Hannah.
I mean,
what if it looked like the fish from Shark Tale, the Angelina Jolie fish?
Yeah, I forgot about the Angelina Jolie fish. Shark Tale, just a forgotten movie in about every biggest sense you can find.
I like that it was like just a
Martin Scorsese.
Also, fish. Like a very not coded message at all, very upfront message about like gay children and like coming out to your parents. And it's just
that was a
weird.
Bizarre movie. So Griffin and Mermaid. I think Mermaid's a great pick too, specifically. Clemmer.
Is to me.
Yep.
I'm going to go with, I like seeing these guys on buildings. I can kind of pose like one. It's gargoyles. I'll pose like one right now. I mean, that.
God, you really, you look like you should be in Gotham.
Like that's kind of cool.
We need to make like a full body, like clay mold of you or something. I like gargoyles. Show too.
Yeah. Really underrated show.
You ever watch the show?
No.
It might have been
don't like
Gargoyles.
Them that much.
It was Cartoon Network, right?
Yeah. Cartoon Network. Gargoyles is a fun show. I think there was like McDonald's toys for it or something. I started playing with those.
McDonald's toys for everything.
That's true.
They're cool to see on buildings.
They are. I do like seeing.
They are cool.
It adds a good element to like anything like that.
There are a lot of Batman comics and Gotham. It's kind of that.
And then gargoyles. Gothic look. Someone like puts gargoyles back to life, like in a movie, some sort of sci-fi.
Yeah, what
or
movie am I
movie?
Thinking of that they did that in? I was just trying to think of that.
I think they did it in one of the Tomb Raider movies. But I don't know if it was gargoyles or some other sort of stone creature.
What kind of noise do they make?
Probably something like that, I imagine. Yeah.
In Skyrim, there's living gargoyles that get turned real.
And really? I don't remember that at all.
It was in the vampire expansion, actually. What the fuck is it called?
I think I chose the lichen. I'm pretty sure I went with the lichen route.
The werewolves
with
the companions. All right, gargoyle for Clemmer. I get back to back again. I will do... this is where it's gonna, I'll do zombies first because I think it's another one where it's something that has like a grip on culture and or at least movie and fantasy like fictional culture. Zombie stuff like you, especially I would say like obviously Dawn of the Dead and Night of the Living Dead like started all of it. Mm-hmm. But I think specifically the last like 20 years, like people have been like force feed me all the zombie stuff you can give me. And there's just something I think always cool about a post apocalyptic, even if you could count like The Last of Us 2 underneath this category.
Oh,
like,
sure. Yeah.
Just the post-apocalyptic stuff is always interesting and that always plays no matter what. But then when it's just like, hey, these are people, but they're not people. And then you have all the other arguments like, yeah, the zombies are bad, but the real danger is other humans. And like, all this shit.
Well,
like,
that's that post-apocalyptic, you know, like we saw it in The Stand and like, and that's kind of the fun of it. But the zombies kind of being that also that dread out there as well is fun.
Do you ever watch Day of the Dead? It is fucked up.
I did not. No,
it is fucked up. Yeah, it was like I guess a direct sequel to Dawn. And, it is significantly more gory.
Oh,
it is so fucked up. There's this one scene I think I've talked about it before on LCB. This guy, like the zombies, like get him, and like they rip his head off, and he's screaming while it happens, and his vocal cords are getting stretched, and the scream gets higher pitched.
Oh god.
And like it's fucked, and it's one of the goriest movies I've ever watched in my life. So I'm going to start with zombie, and then I will go next with – there's two here that I really want. And I think I'll go with the Kraken. I'll go with the Kraken. Release the Kraken, all that stuff. I think there's just something cool about a giant squid dragging sailors down to their death. And, like, you could be like, hey, there are actual giant squids out there. They exist. But, like, the Kraken is its own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's its own separate entity. And I think that the idea of it is sick. The renditions of it that they've had in movies have been awesome. Even though Clash of the Titans was a pretty shitty movie, their Kraken was pretty awesome. And I just like it. Something cool about the Kraken. And it's a cool name. Seattle Kraken now. But just the word Kraken is cool. Something cool about it. Maybe because we are crackers, all three of us. Clemmer, you're back up.
I'm going to go with another holiday one of sorts, and that's the Leprechaun.
Yeah,
I mean, this guy's running around. He's looking for gold. He's looking for, you know, gold in the rainbow. He also, as we saw in the movies, he can be a little scary.
Yeah.
He's not not always a friendly Leprechaun. There's some bad ones out there. So I like the fact that they can be dynamic characters, and I like that they're just looking for their bag. They're just looking for their money, which, I mean, who can't relate to that?
I think the whole thing is they're trying to hide their money, right? Like, because the leprechaun guards the
does gold? He guard, or is he looking for the pot of gold? Where is my pot of gold, he says. So maybe he had the money and he lost it, which is sad. We all can relate to that as well.
I think it was like a crackhead or something, gotten the wrong stuff.
So
let's throw back to the leprechaun video. Right.
They hide their gold to lure an unsuspecting when granting their captors three wishes instead of leading them astray.
Oh, they do wishes?
I didn't know that at all. I guess the whole thing, the lesson of leprechauns is to serve as a warning against greed. Irish people like some weird shit, but I like Leprechaun a lot. That's a great mythical creature, and they do have a lot of different
good. Also, traditions. Lucky Charms, perfectly solid cereal. The marshmallows are great. The wheat stuff, not as
yeah. No, they're wearing all no green. They got the belt buckles and stuff, and the tiny shoes.
Yeah, they always dress sharp.
Yeah, super sharp dress. That's true.
The little leprechaun. Oh,
and then you have people doing bad accents like about him and stuff.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, happens all the time.
It was an Austin Powers bit. What did she say? And she's like, the little boy, the leprechaun.
Fuck. I don't know. I gotta rewatch those too.
That's with the rabbit. The leprechaun one is when he's taking a shit. And he's like, wait, am I misremembering it again? When he's like, he's got his lucky charms, the killer, the guy who tries to choke him and he like adds charms to his bracelet.
I don't think that's the
I have no recollection, but it could have been.
The opening of the third Austin Powers movie where they have Tom Cruise play him and they have Kevin Spacey playing Dr. Evil. Gwyneth Paltrow, Danny DeVito as Mini-Me is so goddamn funny.
It's very funny.
And then like Spielberg's like, I think Mr. Oscar says something different. And then they do like a big song and dance or whatever. Gooch, you were back up, back to back to round it out.
Sorry, I found the clip.
It is from Austin Powers?
Yeah, it is. Okay. I'm gonna play it. I don't care if we get.
A superstitious man, he leaves a tiny keepsake from his good luck.
Oh, this guy, yeah.
Every victim he kills, Scotland Yard would love to get their hands on that piece of evidence. They're always after me, Lucky Charms.
And now Scott, yeah.
What? Why does everyone always laugh when I say that? They are after me, Lucky Char. What?
It's a television commercial with this cartoon leprechaun. And all of these children are trying to chase him. Hey, leprechaun man, come on, look at your Lucky Charms. Oh, and there's all these little tiny bits of marshmallows just stuck right in the cereal so that when the kids eat them, they think, oh, this is candy, I'm having fun.
Book. God, movies are so good. All right. Sorry, where was I?
Two picks.
Okay. First one. I'm going with the genie.
Yeah. You going from Witcher?
The one from The Witcher is kind of evil-ish,
that's
right?
That's true.
So I'd rather get, like, you know, the Aladdin sort, yeah, especially if fair. It can be voiced by Robin Williams.
Genies are great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Very cool. Like, just very simple, straightforward, you know, lore. Like, you get it. They're in a lamp. You get three wishes. Sweet. All yeah. done for. I don't like when they try to trick you with the wishes, though.
That's always the thing.
They're major tricksters. What's with that?
Yeah, that's the whole idea is they want to trick you into wasting your wishes on stuff.
Well, my genie wouldn't do that to me.
They have a very good djinn in the last season of What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes, yes, and she won't use her fucking wishes. She just like keeps them around.
Yeah, very funny, very funny djinn.
And then my last one, since this is on the table with Santa, I think this should be on the table if Santa can go. Elves.
Yeah, elves.
Yeah, of course, definitely.
Elves, very, very cool, especially like the large, like, you know, the more human size.
Are you talking like the Santa elves? Or are you talking about like elves you find like in the Lord of the Rings?
I'm thinking like Lord of the Rings elves, the eternal elves, which in those they can be killed, but they're very agile, much stronger, much faster, much smarter than the average human. Mm-hmm. Very cool. I don't know. Being an elf would be cool. Yeah, elves always hot.
Always hot. The one of the guys from Flights to the Conchords who was in the first Lord of the Rings movie, and I remember there's this whole movement like to find the hot elf because he was just like somebody that came up and told Arwen something, and they had this whole movement, find the hot elf, and it was just the dude from Flight of the Conchords, not Jermaine Clement. Clemmer, your last pick.
So I know that some of these are real, but mole men are people that live underground. I know some people really do live underground, but there's also like other mole men that are fictional.
I like that.
Some say they're like bald and like hair. They're like hairless and they kind of live
like underground creature men.
I think that's cool. I think the whole idea of like living underground is wild, and like I think about that a lot. Like especially in New York, because like we're always going underground for subways, or you look in the grates and stuff. You're like, oh wow, imagine. I always think if I had to live down there, what would I do? Like I'd have my baseball encyclopedia. I'd try to get a radio so I could hear the Yankees and Mets games. I like to keep score.
Just live under Citi Field.
That'd be so sad though. It's like the fan of the opera. Like, I'd be like, oh, I wish I could go. But I always think like if I had to live like, what would I do if I had to live like in like a solitary like confinement type situation or like or a place I couldn't get out? What would I do to entertain myself?
Blast from the past type thing.
Kind of, yeah. I've talked so
this
before.
This is back to our bracket of surviving an apocalypse.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. But I just think about old mole men a lot, you know, because I think if I had to be one of these things, like being, I think the genie is the coolest thing to want, maybe. Mm-hmm. But if I had to be one, I kind of would want to be
a mole.
You
want to be a fucking mole man?
A little bit. I'd rather be a mole man than a gargoyle.
Or a dragon.
I don't want to be.
Well, you're throwing out terrible options.
I don't want to be Bigfoot.
What about a vampire?
Dude, you could be
Vampire is a cool life, but I think that would get tiring.
Werewolf.
Not at all.
Only once a month.
They all say they're cursed.
Yeah, but it's only once a month that you turn into.
They say they don't. They all are very upset about it, except for Teen Wolf.
That's like one of those things where, you know, it's like, oh yeah, don't come to Austin. We don't want anybody moving here. Yeah, no, they're just trying to keep the fun to themselves.
Yeah, I mean, Teen Wolf had a great time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like most of the werewolf iterations.
Cool. I don't know. I think being a mole man, like
vampire, would suck.
Maybe it's like the most relatable. That's why I'd say most. Because I want to be a leprechaun. Either. A leprechaun
like being Santa Claus.
Teen Wolf is so
too much work.
That's only once a year.
That's a lot. All the planning. That seems like a lot.
I feel like he chills though, and the elves do all the work, and he just kind of reaps it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I mean he is a
the elves work their
through
ass
through.
Off.
I think that's a good. I think I like that pick.
I'm gonna go with mole man.
I can't move past you. If you could pick any mythological creature to be, you'd pick a fucking mole man.
No, I don't get behind that. I do like the.
I don't want to be a genie. I want to be trapped in the lamp.
Forced to give other people wishes that you
just
need to give yourself.
So you just gotta trick them with them just to waste, you know, spend your time somewhere.
You wouldn't want to do elf, eternal.
No,
elves are hot. People like them.
Give me a reason why not.
You live as long as you want to.
Give me a reason no for elf.
Oh, well, I think immortal life, like living, being immortal, that's not as great as it might be cracked up to be.
You can go to the Dying Lands or the Undying Lands.
Yeah, you could theoretically die. You can also kill yourself if you're an elf.
Yeah, like, they can die.
You can still die. It's just you won't die naturally.
It's just like, even like right now, like I'm 43, and like right now, like I'll go to the store or whatever. I'm like, I've done all these things, right? I've eaten all this food. Like, I just like,
you're already sick of it.
You're ready for death.
You just like, but I imagine 4 years would be even more like, oh, this is so, like, so boring. I have just done all of this. Like, this is like, ugh. So, I mean, if I lived to be 600, it must be so exhausting.
Mm, you find new things to do and
you find the joy in some
movies
of the
and stuff to watch. I like that. And there's always baseball.
You can
on.
Watch every movie. Imagine how many seasons of Mets baseball you can watch if you're an elf.
I know. Like imagine how awful it would be, though, if you live long enough. Like, you're not like boxing or like horse racing's gone out of style.
Yeah.
It must be so horrible. Like, 100 years from now, baseball was non existent. I'd be like, oh no, what now?
If you were an elf, you could live long enough to see Bobby Bonilla's contract run out. That'd be the only way to do it.
That's true. What a great day. Yay.
You know, my Reds get a sneaky pass on the whole Bobby Bonilla, because they do Bobby Bonilla. The third highest paid player on the Reds right now is Ken Griffey Jr.
Oof. Yes.
It has been.
Every team does it. Everyone just knocks. It's the same thing with Mets. Mets just get.
The funniest with Bobby Bonilla day is just someone.
Yeah, it is funny because it's Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah. And then my last pick, I have a bunch on here that I'm thinking on, like Pegasus. Flying horse is cool.
Very cool.
Chimera, three creatures in one is sick. Always Cerberus, three dogs in one dog, three for one. That rocks.
Always creeped me out.
Yeah, I don't like
this. Well, like the Harry Potter version with pit bulls. Yeah.
Well, once you get into the multiple head territory, I really don't like it. Because then I start thinking about, like, which brain is the real brain? Like, do they have different personalities or?
I don't know. Minotaur head on here. I think that's kind of cool too. Bullhead, massive jackass body.
She let me keep. Your mom let me keep it. Your mom let me keep it after I fucked her.
Yeah, that's right. From role models. And I'm actually going to go with legendary creature Cthulhu. Cthulhu inspired a lot of different things. Very close to Kraken.
I was going to say, isn't
the, I don't think it's necessarily like a sea creature.
It's like a big thing with a squid head. Yeah, right?
It's not necessarily. It is. They're both very similar, I think. But like, I don't think Cthulhu is technically a sea creature. You know what I mean? I don't think it's confined to the ocean. Let me double check.
I will say this is obvious. Three guys, but none of us chose unicorn. Which I think, if there were three women here, I think a unicorn would have been taken.
Maybe would have taken it before the Shazam movie. And they've really soured me on the unicorn. The unicorn game.
There's a cartoon called The Last Unicorn. It came out in the early '80s. It has, the band America did the soundtrack. It's a very sad cartoon. It's if anyone here has listened, watch it. It's very sad.
I mean, Cthulhu just looks awesome. I mean, most of these pictures, he's definitely either in the ocean or ocean adjacent, so maybe it's too close to a Kraken. But I think it's cooler, honestly, the more I'm looking at him than a Kraken. He's got like the more anthropomorphic nature, like it's kind of like human hands and shit. The Call of Cthulhu.
See, I'd rather be a mole man than that guy.
Yeah, that's totally, I respect that for sure. But I'll go with Cthulhu because I think he has his own independent lore of a Kraken, which is also very cool. Which obviously I wasn't too aware of because I thought he just was not totally chilling in the ocean.
Well, also, none of us took dinosaurs.
Yeah, our world's only like 3,000 years old. That's right. But yeah, so here's our teams. Gucci, you have dragons, griffins, mermaids, djinn, elves. Clemmer, you have Bigfoot, Santa Claus, gargoyle, leprechaun, mole men. I have werewolves, vampires, zombies, krakens, and Cthulhu. I think those are good teams.
I
think we did a damn good job.
I think so too.
Yeah, with the exception of, I guess, unicorn missing. But I don't think if you can
get unicorn. Or Pegasus, I thought about it. I'd rather be those. I'd rather have those five things be around than a unicorn.
Yeah, I think especially even if you were to have to pick a mythical horse, like Pegasus is way better.
Pegasus
can fly.
Clears.
Yeah,
Pegasus clears.
Yeah, unicorn is just a regular horse with a horn. I don't even think there's any like ironclad powers that a unicorn has. Like
I think the horn is supposed to have magical power. Like if you take the horn and like grind it up and put it in something, I think it's supposed
that's
to.
Bad. That's bad.
That makes me sad though. That would hurt the unicorn. Sure is, you know, if someone hurt a horse, I'd be sad.
But a good episode. We'll be back on Tuesday with a brand new one. Hopefully we have no more giant news dumps in the middle of nowhere with 50 trailers.
I just saw Netflix Tudum is coming up.
Wait, like this weekend?
Nah, it's like a few weeks out.
But oh, okay. Thank God.
Yeah, I know.
So we'll be back covering that in a couple weeks. But thank you to Clem for joining, and make sure to tune in to Double Play.
Yes, every Wednesday.
Get your DP action, baby.
Your DP action in.
No one says DP better than Brandon Walker and myself. So
we'll see you guys on Tuesday.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.